region. It's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Road trip. Gotta love it. Especially when you just take a look at all the different things that they did and got. More importantly, got a chance to, you know what, stay in fifth place, which is always something that you have to love and like there for sure. So we'll take your phone calls on that. You'll hear from the Pels after the game. Willie Green, Zion Williamson, Trey Murphy here as well. Marlon Fayright's going to join us for a few minutes. Leo Haggie's going to join us for a few minutes as well, because there is news all in and around the NFL as legal tampering has begun. It began 11 o'clock Central Time, which means teams can get into contact with players that are going to be available in free agency and then agree to terms. And it is happening.
Time now for The Lead. The lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
The Lead is always brought to you by Lakeview Massage and Therapy and the Cervical Family Chiropractic by Dr. Joshua Letts. Go give them a holler. Mention the show. You get hookups with a discount flat out. The big news, no doubt, in the division is the Falcons and Kirk Cousins agreeing in principle to a deal. 4 years, $180 million. It absolutely changes the division, no doubt. Jeff Duncan covers the Saints, and some of you Saints fans don't like him. But he just tweeted, and I'm asking you, is he right? The Falcons went from the worst quarterback to the best quarterback in the division. Do you think the Falcons have the best quarterback in the division? Man, it's so nice making fun of them, huh? What is Atlanta like right now? I'm really scared to ask the Graf how he feels. And again, you can think of whatever you want to think about Kirk Cousins. First 8 weeks of the season before he injured that Achilles. 18 touchdown passes. He was tied for first in the NFL. And for those first 8 weeks, he was second in the NFL in passing yards, 2,331. Fifth in completion percentage. Again, he has Drake London at wideout, Kyle Pitts at tight end, Bijan Robinson as his running back. Where do you rank the quarterbacks in the NFC South? Where's Derek Carr? Do you put him above Baker Mayfield? Baker Mayfield signed 3 years, $100 million, 50 guaranteed with the Bucs over the weekend. So he's the Bucs quarterback. Bryce Young's still the quarterback right now with Carolina. Carr with the Saints. And now Cousins is the Falcon quarterback. He's going to bring structure to that team. He's going to bring it back there as well. And again, I don't know how you look at him, but he's made $411 million. 329 of it has been guaranteed. He's had one playoff win in 12 years. Teams need a quarterback. They want it. But think about it. Giving him $50 million to sign. $100 million guaranteed. He has one playoff win. But if you're Atlanta, you haven't had a quarterback like Cousins since Matt Ryan, really. Right? But where do you put him? Is Atlanta now the team to beat? I'll say again. ESPN bets. Just looked at it. Before the announcement of Kirk Cousins, plus 120 to win the division. Since the announcement, now minus 110. Conference, to win the conference, plus 1,800 before, plus 1,200 after. To win the Super Bowl, plus 5,000 before, plus 3,000 after. Bottom line, that absolutely has changed the opinion of the Atlanta Falcons, and he hadn't even, I don't even know if he's in the building, much less taking a rep and a snap. And I get it. Here's the interesting aspect about it. Zach Robinson, offensive coordinator for them. Clint Kubiak, offensive coordinator for the Saints. Neither is Cole they play ever in the NFL. Ever. Who do you have more confidence in? In that offense. Who has the most weapons? And look, this kind of goes back to last year when I was saying this. How do you feel about Chris Olave being your number one receiver? Who you got? Who's the best receiver in the division? What team has the best number one receiver? Is it Evans? Are you going Drake London? He's got the best tight ends. I would say Pitts has the potential to be, right? He's got the best running back. Like, legit, I'm just, right now, this very second, March 11th. On paper, I kind of have to give the edge to the Falcons right now in terms of potential with their players. And what I mean by that is Drake London's a top 10 pick. Kyle Pitts was a top 10 pick. John Robinson was a top pick. Like, their top offensive skill position players were all, I think, top 10, top 12 picks. Right now, the top two receivers for the Saints are Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed. Gus, I love what A.T. Perry. A.T. Perry was not taken in the first round. I love A.T. Perry. A.T. Perry was not taken top 10 player in the first round. Does it mean that they're going to be good? Does it mean they can do that? No. But on paper, they kind of have that. Bucks still need to find that run game, which we'll talk to Leo about here as well. But on paper, you add a guy that's going to bring leadership to that locker room. You add a guy that has performed. He's gone to the playoffs. He's won playoff games. He's won one. But it's interesting because when you look at it, I can see why all of a sudden the money has changed, right? I mean, it does look like it. That a lot of people kind of feel that they can be a team that could make some things. Michael on Twitter, I asked on social media, go ahead and rank the quarterbacks in the NFC South. Cousins, Baker, Carr, or a coin toss for him, and Young, but he does put Cousins in first. Robert sent a GIF of a man getting up of a boardroom, opening the window, and jumping out of the window. That's his immediate reaction. Again, I would love to make fun of the Falcons, but I think it's a big thing. Saquon Barkley also, he agrees to a 3-year deal with the Eagles, $37.75 million. He's on his way to the Eagles. Josh Jacobs, the running back for the Raiders, no longer in Vegas. He goes to Green Bay. Keep in mind, the Saints play the Packers. Keep in mind, the Saints play the NFC East this season here as well. Mark, thank you for giving us a call in the Sports Hangover. What you got?
Hey, bud. You know, I've been catching you on and off a little bit today, and the salary cap thing and the way that it was completely mismanaged by the Saints is, you know, overly annoying because, you know, you can't keep a role player for, what, $2 million because, you know, you're paying people that haven't played for the Saints in a couple of years because of bad deals. You know, you've got people you're paying millions of dollars and they wouldn't even make a practice squad on some other teams, you know, offensive line. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it's crazy to think that the Saints have put themselves, but the fans in that kind of position. You know, you got the draft coming. Yes, we got a couple of extra picks in, what, the fifth round. But, I mean, unless you say offensive line and defensive line every time the Saints pick in the draft, I don't think that they're serious about trying to win because they've got – we're stuck with Derek Carr. I mean, you asked the question earlier about Chris Olave being the number one. Yeah. But you've got Derek Carr throwing him the ball. You know, you got Chris. I mean, you had Michael Thomas, who was the best slant receiver ever, and Derek Carr couldn't throw a slant. So, you know, they're surrounding themselves with nobody, and they're expecting us to believe that it's something. And here we are still talking about it, so I guess they're getting what they're wanting.
Yep.
But you can't get anybody, and because of the salary cap hell that Mickey Loomis and whoever else put us in. And it should, I guess, I don't know, man. Maybe I just need Dr. Gus to help me understand my frustrations.
You're gonna need therapy I can't provide, so you're gonna have to wait till Thursday. Chef Scotty, who is clearly the most optimistic in our friend group text right now. 4K has the Saints at 6-11 already right now. Uncle Earl literally just told us he's going by vodka. He's on his way to do that. And apparently,
I am not
going to
lie,
Scotty,
that bottle of Angel's Den is looking good.
Well, that's some good stuff there, too. Yes, but I will tell you right now, Chef Scotty is not a care in the world. Not a care in the world. So there you go. There you go.
But, you know, God, you know, I thought the Brothers of the Sacred Heart did better. You know, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know what's up with that new education that they're putting out now. You know, you know, back when I was over there, they taught us to look at the facts. The facts are that, you know, we're stuck with Derek Carr, and nobody would want that. You know, but I don't know what you say, what you're seeing about, you know, any kind of line movement. You know, I guess it doesn't matter who's quarterbacking,
right?
If you can't protect the guy,
right?
And the people that we have on the line now have all proven that they can't protect anybody. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, maybe themselves, because, you know, they go through the whole game without getting sweaty. You know, there's no faith. Does anybody have faith in this scouting staff after what they've done the last couple of drafts with linemen? I mean, you got three number one picks that are just there because they were number one picks. Complete busts.
Well, like I said, I'm with you to what you were saying at the very beginning, and I got to hit the break here. I understand, yes, the Saints find a way to eventually fill their roster and do what they need to do with the whole cap situation. But to your point, when you can't keep a player that signs with the Texans, who is a cornerback that seemed to be really well liked in the locker room for $1.2 million. That's the point of that. You know, when you're constantly having then you're not going to go get, you know, not that I thought and not that we knew the Saints were going to go get splashy players and stuff. But again, that's the issue when you have that. You know, to your point, you literally cannot keep Lonnie Johnson, the defensive back on this team, who signs with the Texans for 1 year's $2.5 million. And he literally texts himself. He's like, not, you know, gonna have, always will have love for you, New Orleans. I tried. I promise. I tried. We just couldn't get a deal done. I mean, $2.5, you know.
2.5.
Yeah. So, you know.
We've got to do better.
Well.
Yeah, so I say we. The Saints have got to do better, and they've got to think longer, because they're not in any kind of window to win a championship right now.
Well, thank you.
They're barely in a window to win games.
I hear. Thank you, man. So, appreciate the phone call. Eagles running back DeAndre Swift, the Greens, are 3-year, $24 million with the Bears. And per several reports here, the Giants didn't even make an offer to Saquon Barkley. It was between the Bears, the Texans, and Eagles. Bears wound up with DeAndre Swift. Saquon Barkley goes to the Eagles. The Texans were in on that. Now, Josh Jacobs to the Packers. Barkley to the Eagles. Swift to the Bears. Looks like the Texans are indeed trying to get another back there. Derrick Henry is still out there. Tony Pollard, he's gone too from the Cowboys. He goes to the Titans. So a lot of movement in the running back room here as well. Busy, busy day. Marlon Fay right next on ESPN New Orleans.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Local sports. National sports. The G-Cat has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up.
As we try to get Marlon Favorite on. Marlon, sir, are you with us, sir?
Hello, somebody.
Oh, I love that. All right, man, I need an immediate reaction. We'll get to the latest with the Tigers as they enter week two of spring ball. But when you hear Kirk Cousins to the Falcons, I just want your immediate reaction when you hear it. What is it? What pops to your head?
My immediate reaction was, why are we recycling former quarterbacks in the NFC South? Like, are we going to get at least somebody that has been in the league at least 5 years? But it does look like a copycat move from New Orleans. It really does, because it's like, we go get big money on Derek Carr last year, and it's like, okay, they're recycling, we're going to recycle. I guess they have the same GM from the same place.
Yeah, let me ask you this, though, because this a year ago, right around this time, you and I and other Saints fans, hey, the Saints and Derek Carr are going to be married here. $100 million, very similar situation like you said. And you were hoping that Carr would bring in certain attributes that I'm assuming, I would think, Marlon, Falcons fans are hoping at this moment in time it is bringing in, right? I mean, you would think that. But Kirk Cousins beat the Saints in the playoffs. Kirk Cousins is not bad. I mean, like, if I'm a Saints fan, I don't know if I'm too happy about that signing. Now, I understand he hasn't played a snap with them, and, you know, you never know how it happens. But I don't know, man. I look at this, and I probably put the Falcons as the favorite for the division right now.
Yes, well, because Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than Derek Carr. But I would rather Kirk Cousins than Justin Fields, because here's the thing. Yes, I do think that Kirk Cousins has the Saints number to a certain extent. I mean, in the regular season too, we've seen this, the London game. Mm-hmm. But I just still feel like I'm glad it isn't somebody like a Justin Fields, because there's a guy that's a younger quarterback, more elusive. And if you put him around lethal weapons like Bijan Robinson, and Drake London, you have Pitt, you know, at the tight end. So those younger weapons, but now we saw what Kirk Cousins did with Justin Jefferson. We saw, you know, when he had all his target receivers and a decent running game, he's able, I guess, Kirk Cousins, and this, you know, Kirk was my teammate for a year in Washington. Mm-hmm. He does bring a good personality to the locker room. Like, it's almost where Taysom Hill meets Baker Mayfield. Just a cool cat, a really nice teammate to be around. Mm-hmm. So when you don't have a teammate that's being an a-hole, which we've seen that before, or, you know, try to divert responsibility other ways, it's still, I think it's a good deal.
It'll be interesting to see where, I guess, other moves and things that happen there as well. Saquon Barkley, Marlon, going to the Eagles as a Cowboys fan. Tony Pollard to the Titans. Barkley to the Eagles. DeAndre Swift from the Eagles to the Bears. Are you surprised by this much movement by the running backs?
I'm seeing that running back seems to be a moving piece here early tampering pieces. I kind of figured, we mentioned that on Inside the Trenches a few weeks ago. I think it might have been CL mentioned. I can see Saquon go, because I thought Saquon was going to end up in Dallas, but it was somewhere in the division. And then you have the deal with, I saw that Josh Jacobs, he just signed a deal with Green Bay, gives Jordan Love another target at running back that could catch a run out of the backfield. But you pay attention to the Tony Pollard move. They're going with a slimmer, a little younger, more elusive running back. You have Will Levis is going to be a guy you want to get him. Not only somebody that can run in between the tackles, plus they have Tulane's very own Spears out of Ponchatoula. So, I mean, you have, I think that Tennessee is going in the right direction. The new head coach, you have your quarterback, maybe get some pieces on defense. But, you know, to your point with the running backs, Gus, now Dallas is for sure, or the Cowboys going to get somebody out of free agency? Because that was our main bet, right? Or will the Cowboys try to draft him one of these big-time running backs in a draft? Who knows? But, boy, this has been one active morning.
No doubt. It looks like the Panthers, I know you like beef, they have made a splash. Robert Hunt, Dolphins guard, heading per Ian Rappaport, heading to the Panthers. And I guess that's where it does start with them, right? They have got to, one way, shape, or form, help Bryce Young and protect him.
Yeah, I think they're going to spend a lot of free agency money and draft capital on that offensive line position. They may need to look running back, definitely get him another target receiver. But it was very hard for us to really judge Bryce Young. Wow. I mean, you look at the draft last year, Gus, right? He was the number one quarterback there. And, you know, C.J. Stroud did have a better rookie season, but I also thought that C.J. Stroud had a lot more support, particularly on the offensive line, you know, some trusted receivers, a young and innovative head coach. So he does have all the pieces as well around him. So try to build the same thing around Bryce Young and see what he does in year two.
The number just came out on Robert Hunt. Again, all this is happening in real time. 5 years, $100 million for the guard to go from Miami to the Panthers, man. Look, you know how that works. Tackle, guard, centers. If you don't got them, you don't draft them. You're going to have to wind up paying, dude. $100 million for a guard.
Price of the free agents is going up. You look at a league where most of your quarterbacks are young and need some experience. Okay, so for all intents and purposes, you have Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. These are guys that had even to a certain extent. They're younger quarterbacks, but they've had some support or dealt with not having support. You look around the league, you have guys like Bryce Young, young quarterbacks that's getting in that need offense. The value is high on offensive linemen and tackles, particularly in free agency. You look at the balance on that San Francisco offensive line. Trent Williams, McClincy. You know, you had enough Pro Bowl caliber players on those offensive lines. So, I mean, the league's taking notes.
Yeah. Well, Tyrann Mathieu posted on Twitter, just a reminder, if Saints do fund surprising signings this week and you hop in my mentions with still have DA, so it doesn't matter, automatic block, take your Saints misery elsewhere. That's Tyrann Mathieu just letting Saints fans know you don't want to hear it. Marlon, you're part of the LSU Sports Radio Network here as well. Still got some time before that opening game against USC in Vegas, but you got to get your practice in. We got about 2 minutes left here. Anything you heard from last week that stands out to you?
I think it's the emergence of Kyrie Lacy as that number one wide receiver. I saw that LSU released a little video of him and Ashton Staff sticking each other. He had a really good catch on him. But I think, you know, that's one thing you look at with this defense, the leadership in Josh Williams. He's going to be that running back this year for the Tigers. And then, of course, there's the quarterback room. I mean, eventually you have Juwan Johnson coming out of Lafayette Christian. You have Ricky Collins there. You have A.J. Swine. You have Nussmeier as your guy. Plus the other incoming freshman, you of course, have Colin Hurley. So I think the quarterback, the competition with the young guys competing to make a showing is going to be big, too. So I'm excited for their spring game, April 22nd. I look forward to it.
I did want to mention this because I know you're a big guy, too, in a D-tackle. How about Chris Jones? 5 years, $158.75 million with the Chiefs, $101 in guarantees, and gets 30 just to sign on the dotted line. $31.75 million is the average. That's the highest paid for D-tackle. As a D-tackle yourself, does this bring a smile to your face?
It does, man. I'm smiling from ear to ear over here, Gus, because it just goes to show you that inside the trenches is where the game is won and lost. You're going to spend money. We're sitting here talking, and I know our listeners would love to hear about, you know, what the Saints are going to do in terms of protecting Derek Carr, but, you know, just to hear across the league, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, getting big bucks, especially guys that get after the quarterback. I mean, you have a solid edge rusher. You put your team in a decent position to compete longer into the playoffs. You do, bro. No, I mean,
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus. He says the Panthers finally added some receiving talent to help Bryce Young, and it's a highlight in the Dolphins Ravens game where Tua throws the ball that's tipped and the guard, Hunt, gets it and scores a touchdown.
That's funny.
Hey, I had to laugh on that, man. I know you like the big guys getting some attention, but oh man, if you're the Panthers right now, you know what though? It's a couple of seasons. You let New Orleans. If I'm Carolina, I let New Orleans and Atlanta with aging quarterbacks see what they can do next 2-3 years. I'm looking to try to compete in 3-4. I mean, that's what I'm doing.
That's it. You have to build through the draft. I mean, that's what Green Bay is always successful. You look around the league and it's different things that they're able to do. They very seldomly bring somebody in free agency. I mean, bringing Josh Jacobs in is definitely, you know, they'll bring in key pieces. I mean, they brought Julius Peppers in one time. So, I mean, it's just one of those situations where you have to build your team, and you got to start on that line, baby.
Yep. Looking forward to it. Thank you, man. Appreciate so much for your time. Mr. Marlon Favorite at Big Fave 504 is the way to give a follow Inside the Trenches, the podcast. Go check it out, especially over on YouTube, man. Good stuff as always, bud. We'll see you on Friday.
Thanks, man. Tonight we'll be at UPT Sports Social from 6 to 8, man. So we're going to have us a good time tonight on Inside the Trenches podcast.
Thanks, man. Pull it up. Everybody go check it out. As always, appreciate it. Leo Haggerty next. 1 second, he's all excited. His Buccaneers signing Baker Mayfield the next. His thoughts on the Falcons adding Kirk Cousins. The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Boy, oh boy. We got a lot to get into here with Mr. Leo Haggerty. Amped up sports, sir. How are you?
Gus, I tell you what, I am pregnant with knowledge today after what's breaking on the sports scene, that's for sure.
All right, let's start it with your parts down there, sir. Baker Mayfield, as expected, did remain a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. $50 million guaranteed, $100 million overall over 3 years. You look at the money the quarterbacks are getting elsewhere around. Makes sense. I think, look, if you're Baker, Tampa kind of gave you a chance there. They signed Mike Evans last week before free agency to a deal that I think makes sense and doesn't break the bank. And, you know, you kind of at least are in a good starting spot before you even really, I guess, help the team get better in any aspect of things of that nature. What do you make of that move over the weekend to retain Baker?
Well, I think the big plus was Evans staying. I think if Evans would have gone, I think Baker would have looked elsewhere. But, again, it's very team-friendly. It's $50 million guaranteed. And, again, Gus, I want to reiterate that to your listeners. Just look at the guaranteed money. We call this the Mark Dominic rule, who's the former general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He convinced the NFL, and the NFLPA went along with it, but the guaranteed money comes off right away or comes off in a signing bonus over that. So after that $50 million's gone, after 2 years, they can walk away from the rest. Yeah. And that's what's happening a lot now. Mm.
Good point. All right, so that took place. And then this morning you started seeing a lot of different moves here. And let's start just with teams. I guess, obviously, the Bucs and Saints are going to play. Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles. DeAndre Swift to the Bears. You see a couple of other things that kind of stood out. You know, with the Panthers being able to get Hunt just now, the big guard from Miami. But, dude, it's Kirk Cousins to the Falcons. We kind of felt this was going to happen. But to see it for real, 4 years, $180 million, 100 guaranteed, the average 45 per year. What your initial reaction when you heard the news for real and official?
Gus, you and I predicted this last week. We also predicted Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles. It made sense. Atlanta went all in. Plain and simple. They are all in to happen right now. They think they're a quarterback away. That's it. And they threw money at Kirk Cousins to come here. I'm assuming he passed the physical. I'm assuming that. But you know what assume does? It makes the you-know-what out of you and me.
That's
but
true.
I'm Atlanta, that scares me right now. Because right now, if you have to rate the quarterbacks, you got to rate Cousins, Carr, Mayfield. Not a whole lot of separation between that. But still, I think Cousins gives them a leg up on the rest of the division.
Yeah, and look, that's how we have to look at it, at least today. And I understand, Leo, and you do too. It's March 11th. I mean, we haven't even, this thing started 11, 12, 1, 2. We're approaching hour 4 of legal tampering and free agency. The league year didn't even start to Wednesday. The draft hasn't happened until next. I get all of that. But when you look at this, you know, Bijan Robinson's 22. They also, you can't forget Tyler Allgeier. He's really good at running back position there. He's two at 24. Drake London's 23. Kyle Pitts is 23. Like, that scares the bejesus out of me. I mean, because when you're looking at it, I'm comparing in contrast. So do it with me here. Who has the best receiver? Who's the best number one receiver in the NFC South? I'm going Mike Evans. You?
Oh, it's Mike Evans. Yeah. Okay. Only because you can't coach size, you can't coach speed.
Bingo.
Evans got that.
I like Chris Olave. I really do. But Thursday, I brought this up, and it's no sense of disrespecting, and I actually brought it up because I wonder if this now puts in play whether or not the Saints go with the receiver at 14. And what I mean by that is this. Leo, I'll ask you as somebody that covers this team on the outside, how comfortable are you as Chris Olave as your number one receiver?
Comfortable. Not ecstatic. I'm comfortable. I want to see growth still. I think he came in the league and thought he was going to light it up, and he found out, you know, oh, darn, this is work. This isn't just show up and play like it was at Ohio State.
Right.
Those guys on the other side of the line, you know, they're not Northwestern. They're not Indiana. They're not Illinois. These guys are getting paid. And he's got to go to work now. I'm hoping that wakes him up. I'm comfortable with him. But I'm not jumping off a cliff for
it. What you just said there is what I basically echoed on Thursday, and that's prevented me from going. I got app season, my no doubt number one sort of thing, right? In terms of a number one receiver to me, and I'm not saying they're not divas or they're not meat people, or they're all, but you know, or always saying I'm always open. That's fine. It's understandable. That's good. But most of the time, not saying all the time, Leo, you'd agree with me. What you just said. You shouldn't have to say you're hoping a number one receiver wakes up, runs the right route, runs through the end of his... You know what I'm saying? Like, say what you want about Michael Thomas and his tweets. That dude played hard, right? I mean, like, there's no denying that. I mean, Drew Brees said the guy practiced like it's the Super Bowl. Every teammate has said the guy has great practice habits. You can look at his body and see that work isn't an issue with him. That to me is a number one receiver. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm kind of iffy. And when I look at the receiving corps as a whole with the Saints, I love Rashid Shaheed. I said last year going into training camp, I think he's this team's number two receiver. But Rashid Shaheed wasn't selected in the top 10 or in the first round. You know what I'm saying? Look, A.T. Perry, nice catches last year. That guy wasn't selected in the first or second round. So I do think the Saints should look at adding receiving depth or even talent. That's just me.
Oh, Gus, I agree wholeheartedly. And believe me, there is a plethora of wide receiver talent out there. But just going to show you what happens at the combine. I don't know if you saw the video on the Washington kid, Odunze, what he was doing. So now he's the number one, you know, receiving prospect. Because he can run around cones, he can catch three balls at one time, he can do a shuttle. That's what drives me nuts about the combine. You've had 13 games or 15 games this year to look at this kid. When you get to the combine, if that's what's selling you on it, you better fire your scouting staff, because they should have come in and said, hey, all we want to do is sit down with this kid and see what's between his ears. That's what we're interested in right now, because what we're seeing on the field, hey, he's A+.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to running back. What's the best running back in the division of the four teams?
That's an excellent question, Gus. I'm going to still say Kamara. You know, he's still that guy. You know, at 41, and again, what threw me nuts was not his play, but the Saints' play calling. He's got to touch it 20, 25 times a game. When he does that, guess what happens? Saints win. I look at that. You know, Tampa Bay has White, very good running back. When you look at Atlanta, yeah, they got Bijan, but I'll tell you what, for my money, 41 in the Big Easy is the guy.
Yeah, well, I hear you. Let's see what happens. Tight end. Who's got the best tight end in the division?
I may have to look back at Atlanta now. And again, if he can stay healthy, If he can stay healthy, man, that's a lot of talent there. Darn near 6'7", and he's a wide receiver masquerading as a tight end. He reminds me so much of the guy out of San Diego that was the basketball player that came in, just with his athleticism and the things he can do. The Bucks know. Carolina, there's nobody up there. I mean, period. They're just they are so devoid of talent at the skill positions on offense. New Orleans, okay, but Peelit in Atlanta, he's my number one guy.
All right, and then like you mentioned, we talked about quarterback, running back, tight end, receiver. That's the whole thing about this, right? Do you see what we did there? Without you probably even knowing, like and again, I understand all of this hasn't happened. I'm going to give you one edge on this just because we've seen it, and I don't know. Zach Robinson hasn't called a play ever in his career, the new OC in Atlanta. Clint Kubiak hasn't called a play ever in his career, the new OC in New Orleans. Like they both can do well. I don't know, but same thing kind of in Tampa, right? I mean, Canales leaves, so you need a new OC there. So who has the edge in coaching when it comes to that aspect of it? Because I know Baker's back. He's heading for familiar territory. He's got Evans. But I'm trying to think of another time. All four offenses have different offensive coordinators in the division, right? Because Carolina's got the Bucks' old OC as the new head coach and new OC. The Bucks have a new OC. Saints and Falcons have a new OC.
Gus, I saw a statistic, and I haven't had a chance to see if it's correct or not, but I saw something that the NFL had put out that since 2021, okay, that's 3 years, there's not a single offensive coordinator with their team. That's 32 new offensive coordinators in 3 years. And again, I could be wrong, and your phones could be lighting up and saying, okay, this guy's nuts. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I'm driving, I'm in Georgia, heading up to Kiawa Island, was delayed on my plane yesterday from San Antonio, so I haven't had a chance. But I saw that come up saying, you know, there's not an OC. That's the wild card. I think you hit the nail on the head.
Mm-hmm.
How quick are these guys going to get their system into the new offense? Yeah, those players are there, but, you know, you got guys that are just brand new, and guess what? You're going to have to learn a new language, because that's what happens when a new OC comes in. And I can remember Tom Brady was saying, here's the guy who's going to be the GOAT. He said, I was in week 8, and I was still thinking New England when the play was called. I'm going, wait a second, that's not us. So, yeah, that's a great point, and that's something that's going to have to be looked at.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what takes place, man, over the next couple of weeks and things of that nature. And, man, like I said, that Cousins signing, though, just made this whole division a whole lot more interesting, maybe for different reasons, too, Leo, whereas a year ago we're going, poof, this division is going to be, you know, putrid. I think it could be very competitive, but you look at the teams and the conferences, or rather the divisions that they have to play as well. AFC West, NFC East, then you add the division itself. This could be a very tough division to win 10, 11 games, I think.
Gus, right now, I'm saying like I did last year, you're going to be able to throw a blanket over three teams. Maybe four in December. Carolina will be better. I just don't know how much better. But the other three have gotten better. And they were going into the last week with all three of them having a shot at winning a division. So I think though everybody's improved in the South. Everybody's talking about it being a weak division. Well, guess what? Try to go into Atlanta. Try to go into New Orleans. And try to go into Tampa Bay and win a game. Good luck with that, buddy.
Yeah, I love it. Leo, as always, appreciate the time. We'll talk college basketball ahead of Selection Sunday on Friday, I promise.
No problem. Hey, if you want to come in earlier and look at these tournaments coming up, hey, real quick, Gus, two you want to must-see, the SEC and the Mountain West. You want to watch those tournaments. There are six teams from each that are going to play in the dance.
Love it. Let's see what takes place. I love it. I love it. Take care, man.
Take care, buddy.
All right, take care. Quick break. We come back. Final segment, Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. Lots of noise happening here as well. All over the place. Falcons. The agent of tight end Charlie Werner. Apparently the former tight end for the 49ers signing with the Falcons. 3-year deal worth $12 million. So a little tight end depth there. And yeah, so 3-year, $12 million deal from that aspect of it there. So the Texans appear to be signing cornerback Jeff Okuda, 1-year deal, formerly of the Falcons. Look, just a lot of different movements going on. We'll try to recap it as much as we can coming up tomorrow on the show, as Matt Moscone after further reviews coming up in 3 minutes here as well. So Saints, the news for the Saints today is they restructured the deal for DeMario Davis. And, look, nothing that it's not expected. I don't think anyone expected the Saints to make any splash or surprise moves on day one of NFL free agency, and it's literally only 4 hours old. So it's not like it's anything that you can move on from that aspect of it there as well. The only other thing of note, I guess, to kind of keep an eye on is, as we said, so much movement with the running backs. I am interested to see where Derrick Henry winds up. Tony Pollard, formerly the Cowboys, he goes to the Titans. Saquon Barkley from the Giants to the Eagles. Josh Jacobs to the Packers. Aaron Jones released. Wonder where he goes. You had a lot of movement and a lot of different players kind of decide to test the waters, bet on themselves, make that. A lot of guards. Hunt from the Dolphins, $100 million. You know, for a guard. And I saw some people post, hey, maybe the Saints did a good thing by restructuring and extending, you know, Cesar Ruiz as well. As Hunt got 5 years, $100 million from the Panthers for that. So Raiders also signing the defensive tackle Christian Wilkins from the Dolphins. So they lose two members of their line. One defensive lineman in Wilkins, 4 years, $110 million to the Raiders. And Hunt, $100 million to the Panthers. And look, I'm texting back and forth with Roy, and he's like, look, man, those are two big deals. And obviously those two players each getting $100 million. One team can't really sustain that on that aspect of it. So, we'll go through all of the different signings and how, more importantly, it affects the NFC South. But, again, that's going to be a huge topic tomorrow when you look at it. And how do you feel? I want you to rank the quarterbacks, the running backs, the tight ends, and receivers. Who you got? It almost feels like you could almost say this team for this position, this team for that position, this team for this position. And then you add all four teams in the NFC South have brand new offensive coordinators that have never worked with those quarterbacks. Three of them have never called a play. So, I mean, it's interesting when you look at it from that perspective, isn't it? Got a lot more tomorrow. Don't forget it's Tuesday, which means we'll focus a little bit more on college baseball. In that first hour, we'll talk to a couple of head coaches as well. Matt Moscona. And after further review, we'll have the very latest, the ending of that LSU-South Carolina game. Will the Tigers have a bench in the opening round of the NCAA tournament? He'll have all that and more. Thank you for listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.